Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final preparation for Christmas is to prepare our hearts to receive the coming of Christ and to meditate on his birth in Bethlehem by first meditating on the words of St. John the Baptist. As he prepared the people of Israel for the arrival of Christ, God sends his voice to us today to prepare us too, to receive him rightly, to prepare for his arrival, not only for the Christ who is coming, but also for the Christ who now already stands in our midst. Now, John the Baptist didn't prepare anyone for the birth of Christ, except maybe for his mother Elizabeth, as he leapt in her womb when little John in the womb heard the greeting of the newly pregnant Virgin Mary. Other than that, John was a baby when Jesus was born. He didn't prepare anyone for Jesus' birth. What he did when he came on the scene some 30 years later was to prepare the people of Israel for the public revelation of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus as the one sent by God to be the Savior, to be the Christ. John came preaching and teaching. He came alone, not fitting in with society, and that was on purpose. He came wearing clothing, the Bible tells us, made out of camel's hair, with a leather strap around his waist as a belt, eating locusts and wild honey. He was meant by God to stand out. Not to stand out in a pretentious way or in an arrogant way, but in a way that would signal, this one is different. This one has a special message from God. And that message was really made up of three parts, John's message as recorded in Scripture. He came preaching repentance. We'll talk about that in a moment. He came preaching a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And he came preaching, the Christ is coming, just about to come. That repentance that he preached to Israel is summarized neatly for us and described in our own Lutheran confessions and in the snippet that's printed on the back of your service insert as we describe what is this repentance. As it says, this is what true repentance means. Here a person needs to hear something like this. You are all of no account, whether you are obvious sinners or saints in your own opinions. You have to become different from what you are now. You have to act differently than you are now acting, whether you are as great, wise, powerful, and holy as you can be. Here, no one is godly. John was to accuse all and convict them of being sinners. This is so that they can know what they are before God and acknowledge that they are lost. So they can be prepared for the Lord to receive grace and to expect and accept from him the forgiveness of sins. This is the true preparation for the coming of Christ, to recognize that you are not good enough to win heaven or to avoid hell. You need a Savior. No matter how good you think you are or how decent a person others think you to be. You need a Savior and not a 50% Savior or a 90% Savior. You need a 100% Savior who will bear all your sins for you, and who will provide all the righteousness that you need to stand before God. That's the Savior you need. That's the Savior John said would come. And then finally, one day during John's ministry, that Savior did come and walked right up to John the Baptist on the banks of the Jordan River and asked to be baptized by him. We'll hear of that account on another occasion. After that Savior was baptized, he went away for another 40 days to be tempted in the wilderness. We'll hear about that on another occasion. But it's at the very end of those 40 days that our gospel from John chapter 1 occurs. One day, before Jesus would come back and present himself again there where John was baptizing. Ever since John had baptized Jesus, his message had shifted. He was still preaching repentance. He was still preaching a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, but his message was no longer the Christ is about to come. His message now is that Christ is here. That message that John was now preaching over this last month and a half really got the attention of the leaders in Jerusalem, and so they sent this delegation that we hear about in our gospel to go and question John, finally, to ask him who he is. And apparently their first question to him, now that he's preaching all about this Christ is here message, was, so are you claiming to be the Christ? And the Apostle John tells us that John the Baptist very clearly confessed, no, I am not the Christ. So the other options that they could think of for people that might have the divine authority to preach to God's people were, are you Elijah? Meaning by that question, are you literally the man Elijah who lived 800 years ago, was taken up into heaven, and has now come back down from heaven to earth? And John says simply, no, I'm not. He wasn't literally that Elijah, but he was the figurative Elijah that the prophet Malachi foretold would come just ahead of the Christ, and that you heard Jesus in last Sunday's gospel declare that John was that figurative Elijah. Are you then the prophet? And they probably meant the prophet that Moses had prophesied would come and stand among his brethren to whom all of Israel must listen. A prophecy about the Christ himself. And so John said, no. He wasn't that prophet, although, as Jesus again said last week, and you heard him say it, John was a prophet and more than a prophet. Who are you then, they asked. And John gave the answer that we need to hear. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John was someone special. He was prophesied about in the Old Testament. This particular prophet, prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, also Malachi. And yet, by saying that, I am the voice of one crying out, John was also telling them, I am no one special. He knew that. He freely confessed it. I'm no one. I don't matter. And yet, you should listen to me. Because when you hear my voice, it is really the voice of the Lord God you are hearing, for he sent me. Because when you hear my voice, it is really the Lord crying out to you. He wants you to hear me calling you to repentance, so that you do repent, all who hear my voice. He wants you to hear my voice calling you to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That's God's voice telling you that. He wants you to be baptized. He wants you to hear me announcing the coming of the Messiah. because that's what I've been sent to do. And yet John didn't draw the attention to himself, only the voice and the message of God that was coming out of his mouth. So it is with all the apostles and all pastors and ministers ever since John. We are no one special, and we are the first ones to admit it. You should not follow us or join a church or stay at a church or leave a church because of us. But you should listen to us. Not because we're anything special, but because God has sent us so that you may hear His voice speaking through us. This is how God communicates with you. And that's what John did. The delegation that was sent to him from the Pharisees wanted to write John off at that point, since he wasn't any of these people that they thought would have maybe the authority to preach, since he wasn't sent from the leaders, since he wasn't sent from the priests or the Pharisees. Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? But John just kept pointing his finger away from himself, not focusing on who he was or what authority he had. Pointing away from himself and even away from the divinely appointed baptism that he was doing, pointing to the one who made his baptism valid. Pointing to the one from whom baptism derived its power. He points no longer to the Christ who is coming, but to the Christ who now is here. I baptize with water, but there stands among you one whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. A better translation might be, it is he who, coming after me, has gotten ahead of me. Because now that Jesus has been revealed in his baptism, even though he came after John, now it is the ministry and the teaching of Jesus that takes precedence over John and his preaching. From this point on, the prophet John will not be gathering disciples to himself, but sending his disciples away to Jesus, the Christ who had now come. That's the faithful prophet John was. Always pointing away from himself. Always directing the people to Christ. Christ is the reason why you should repent. Christ is the one in whom you should trust for the forgiveness of sins. That Christ stood in the flesh in the midst of the Jewish people for a short time, even though most of them didn't know him. The same Jesus now stands in our midst in a different but equally significant way. He stands here in his church, in his word, and in his sacraments. He won't deal with you directly or preach to you directly as he did for a very short time when he walked this earth. Not until he comes again in glory. Then he'll deal with all of us directly. Instead, he has instituted this office of the holy ministry to deal with you through the voice of his called servants. This is where you find him until he comes again. Not in your heart, not under your Christmas tree, not sitting at your table with your family with you. Here he gives himself to you. Here he speaks to you with his voice. Here he is, the one whose sandal straps the great prophet John was unworthy to untie. Hear his voice today. And come to the Christ Mass on Thursday to spend Christmas with him. Here you will find him, lying in the manger of his word, offering you his very body and blood, born of the Virgin Mary, for you to eat and to drink. because that body was given and that blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. This is where Jesus will be on Christmas, to help and to save you, to hear your prayers, and to hear and accept your worship. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand to sing the offertory.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me